Good morning. Hope everybody's doing good this chilly morning. You looked outside the window before you go out and you thought, boy, this is nice and warm out there. You get out there and realize that nice warm day will bite you. Pretty cold. Everybody doing well? Good. Well, I'm excited about this series that we've been in and what's going on with us taking a step deeper on Wednesday nights by looking at the lesson and talking about the lesson. And for me, today's lesson is a very, very powerful lesson in that I believe that it's going to begin opening up our hearts to understand some things about our ability to know God. I really want to start this morning by just looking at all of us and saying it this way, and I'm saying it this way for impact reason, and that is, you've been lied to. Yep. You've been lied to. We have been told things that just aren't true about God. Now today I'm going to look at one aspect of God. Last week I told you there are three different things in Scripture, three different places where it says God is spirit, God is light, and it says God is love. So when we look at these three things, these are things that says God is, and it literally says God is love. Now in this series that we've been in, I'm going to, again, make a statement that I think or I hope will just open up our hearts to understand that I do believe that the children of God, the family of God, the body of Christ, will grow up into mature sons and daughters. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. God's will is for us to grow up as sons and daughters for the purpose of setting creation free. He has said in His Word that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God so that they can be set free from the slavery of corruption and death that in all of its forms that they operate in and that we operate in. And I want to make it clear as I start this series and get into this series that I want you to understand that the present day church is not wrong or evil. I'm not saying that we're all wrong. I'm not saying that we're evil. It's simply inadequate. The present day church is not wrong or evil. It's simply inadequate to do the next phase of reconciling itself and the things to God. Without going into it today, how many of you know God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation? We are to reconcile things back to God, and that's one of the ministries that we have. Now, I'm not saying the church, again, is wrong. I'm not saying it's evil. Sometimes we say things and what people hear, they're saying, well, you're criticized. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just trying to expose some things so that we can understand. The church is not evil or wrong, but it's inadequate. Would you say that word with me, inadequate? Just say that, inadequate. To become adequate, it will be essential that we quit using God as only a means to meet our needs. You know, it amazes me how many people, all they see with God is, God, what can you do for me? How can you meet my need? How can you touch me? How can you heal me? How can you bless me? That's their whole view of God, is what's in it for them. And because we have that view, it's hard for us to really see He saved us from sin, but He saved us for a purpose. Now, as we fully embrace Jesus Christ, He is seeking to take us into what I would call uncreated relational reality. In other words, the rhema of God, which is where we get our name, but the rhema of the Holy Spirit will penetrate deeply into our innermost beings, where we become able to accomplish, and the Holy Spirit is able to accomplish the transformation that is needed. Say this with me. Say, I believe I can be transformed into everything God has purposed me to become. Transformation needs to take place. Now, I believe in order for this transformation to take place, we're going to have to grasp or lay hold of some spiritual discipline and understand that some things that God does, you know, when God judges, his judgment's not punitive, it's purifying. He's trying to purify us in a way that we need to understand. And, you know, again, when I talk about our inadequate, you know, Jesus told us to make disciples. Now, I realize and I understand that you have to be converted to Christ, converted to Christianity, accept Christ. You have to be born again in order to become a disciple. But so many people think that just being saved is the ultimate finished work of what he's done. But he told us to make disciples. I know multitudes of saved people who by their attitudes and actions, it would be most difficult to identify them as a disciple. All they are is in it for what's in it for them. Are you hearing me? That's all they're in it for. That's all they understand is what's in this thing for me. So, I believe our Heavenly Father intends that his people become incarnated, an incarnation of his nature in the same manner as Jesus was. Now, if you have your Bible, I want to go to Romans chapter 8, and I want to read you several verses from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, when it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now, again, let me just tell you the title of my message today. My message is titled, "We've Been Lied To," or "Lied To, God is Love." I'll show you that in a moment. We've been lied to. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Everybody say, loved us. "For I am persuaded," this is the Apostle Paul talking, he says, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, here's what I want you to hear from this. Paul is persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why do we allow things to separate us from that love? When it says nothing shall separate us from the love of God, that almost sounds to me like there's an unshakable kingdom that's in the heart of God that he's placed in the heart of man, where that the heart of God and the heart of man and that kingdom cannot get shook. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from that love. Now, what if the Christian life, and I'm not saying this is all it, but just hear me out. What if the Christian life could be concentrated down to one principle? What would that principle be? Reason Rhema Christian Center is founded upon love, acceptance, and forgiveness is because love to me is the greatest principle and the most foundational thing that we'll ever know about God, because God is love. And what if the Christian life really could be concentrated down to this one principle, God is love? Again, I want to repeat it. We've been lied to about God. Because the God that I've been fed most of my life ain't always real lovable. The God I've heard preached ain't always the most loving guy that I've ever seen. And the Bible says God is love. Now, this is my personal opinion. You don't have to agree with me, but it's my opinion. I do not believe that there is a character in the entire Bible that is more misunderstood than God. I believe that he is misunderstood more than any other character in the Bible. Let me read to you some verses from 1 John chapter 4. Just reading your scripture. I'm going to read 21 verses here. I want you to listen. Watch. Read along with me. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, you all realize this Antichrist that he's talking about was now in the world was over 2,000 years ago when this was written. Okay, so just keep that in mind. He's talking about something that was already in the world. He's talking about a spirit that's still in the world today. It's been here for the last 2,000 years. It's Antichrist spirit. Now watch. He says in verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Right there where we get this. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us, completed in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Here it is again. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, that's the word confidence, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this present world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Look at somebody right now and say to them, I guess I gotta love you. I guess I gotta love you. I guess I gotta love you. Why? Because God is love. Now, what I want to do briefly this morning, I'm going to just try to use this as an illustration, so stick with me. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to be putting it on the board and reading it from the NIV, the New International Version, because the NIV makes it simple and clearer. The King James uses words that everybody in our day doesn't always use, but I want to read it from the NIV, and you can follow me. I'm just taking a portion of this from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many of you understand 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter? Okay? So if 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, let me read these three verses to you, or four verses. Verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And of course, verse 8 says, love never fails. Now, here's what I want to do to try to get you on the same page with me this morning. If God is love, I want to, instead of using the word agape or love, I want to replace the word love with God. If we have a wrong picture of God, and we don't understand who God is and how God operates, how can we really know him? So if God is love, this passage of Scripture is not only describing love, the agape of God, it's also describing God. Now watch. Here we have verse 4, God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Do you see how that is a description of who God is? Why? Because God is love. Now follow me here just a moment. If you want to find out what love is, I believe you must know God. According to what I read to you in 1 John chapter 4 and what I'm reading to you here from Corinthians, if you want to find out who God is, you must know love. If you want to find out what love is, you must know God. If God is love and love is God, if the Bible is correct by saying that God is love and love is God, then I must come to the conclusion that what you believe in your heart about love is what you believe in your heart about God. You say that again. If God is love and love is God, and the Bible's correct that God is love, then whatever you believe in your heart about love is what you believe about God. That's what I want to talk about for the next few moments this morning. I want to stop just a moment and I want to ask you the question, what do you believe about love? See, here's what I'm convinced. The church, the body of Christ, has allowed the world's view of love to creep into our hearts, and we see love not like the scripture teaches love, but the way the world sees love. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Bible says love is patient. The world says it isn't patient. What do you mean? Well, you know, I love her so much, I just can't wait. I love him so much, because I love him so much, I can't wait. Because my love is so great, I don't have the patience to wait. In fact, if you're in love, that relationship can't wait on anything, according to the world. Pastor, we just love each other so much, we can't wait. We know we're in love. You know what we believe? We believe love is impatient in our hearts. It's what we believe. Let me ask you this. What about kindness? The Bible says love is kind. You know, it amazes me how many beautiful young ladies are attracted to unkind men. It amazes me how many heroes we have in sports and in movies and all those kinds in Hollywood, how many of those people, it amazes me how many of us are drawn to some of the most unkind people in the world. I don't want to start calling names, but the Bible says love is kind. You know, what about this one? Love is self-seeking. Most of us wouldn't consider any kind of relationship with anybody unless we answered the question, what's in it for me? Why do I have to be good to that person? That person ain't ever done a thing for me. What's in it for me? Well, the Bible says love is not self-seeking. Every time I've had somebody come to me and say, I want a divorce, I need a divorce. You know what always goes with I need a divorce? They aren't meeting my needs. When it says love is not self-seeking. How about love keeps no record of wrong? Do I need to elaborate on that one, or just don't look at your mate right now? Love don't keep a record of wrong. Help me, Lord. All right, you ready? Watch this. Love always trusts. Do you know what we've been taught? We've been taught to look at trusting people. And if you trust everybody, we've teach you, you are foolish and stupid if you're trusting. It's what we teach people. You know, you should know you can't trust everybody. In this world that we're in, love never trusts. Never. Not in this world. Unless it's earned. You know, we look at people, you got to earn trust. So what's the point that I'm trying to make with this sermon today? I believe, help me, Lord. I believe the world has convinced us that love is the exact opposite of everything Scripture says love should be. And because we have bought the world's definition, hook, line, and sinker, we're sitting here right now saying, Pastor, you surely don't think we can trust. You surely don't think that we can be kind to everybody. You surely don't think that we shouldn't look out for ourselves. Pastor, you surely can't believe that all of these things are how we're supposed to be. I'm really not worried about what's in your head. What I'm really after is what's in your heart. Because if God is in your heart, you know, it's just like the Bible says you're supposed to love your brother. And how many of you know we have a hard time loving one another? Something is messed up with our understanding of love, because the Bible clearly says we've been lied to. God is love. Help me, Lord. Here, what's this one? How many of you have been hurt by love? Huh? How many of you have been hurt by love? If you're like most people, you may have several unforgettable instances where you believe that love hurt you. Boy, I got a revelation for you. You may believe love hurt you. It wasn't love that hurt you. It was deception. Yeah. Love didn't hurt you. Why? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't hurt. Love doesn't keep record of wrong. It wasn't love that hurt you. What you were hurt by was the opposite of love, but in your heart you believed it was love. You were hurt by deception and an upside down definition of love that swallowed you up, and you had believed it in your heart, and you believed that it was love that hurt you. Think I'm wrong? Well, go to these verses right here and you tell me which one of these things that love is that hurt you. Tell me which one of these is that hurt you. It wasn't love that hurt you. Deception hurt you. Now, notice what I'm saying. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I am saying, because we don't know love in our heart and what love is, I'm saying we don't know God because we don't know love. We think we do. Now, y'all do understand I'm preaching to me too. As long as you don't think I'm just preaching at you and that I think I've arrived, I haven't arrived. Y'all remember what was said after 9/11? Christian leaders all over this country were standing up and declaring and proclaiming, God is sending judgment on America. God come down here and killed these rascals because that's how God is. He's judging the sins of a nation. Lies. 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 The AIDS epidemic. I know I might lose a few friends when I'm done with today. When AIDS came, Christians began to say, God is sending judgment on the homosexuals. We make statements like, God hates abortion. Do we really know God? Do we really understand who God is? Listen to how we talk about God. You know, it's no wonder that people have little interest in reading their Bible, because if God's as bad and as much of a bully as you think he is, why would you want to read his book? No wonder you can't get people to pray. Who wants to talk to somebody who's always angry? My wife has looked at me numerous times and she says, when you settle down a little minute, we'll have a conversation. But right now, I ain't talking to you. Help me, Lord. Every bad thing that happens in the world gets blamed on God. God's in charge. That's what we've said. We're in control. Let me help you with something. Somebody has a heart attack. Do you know what we say? God gave it to him. Yeah, God gave it to him. God's trying to teach him something. You lose your job. And Christians will look and look. Lord's trying to teach him a lesson. He's going to have to trust God. Every time a loved one dies, you know what we say? God took them. Now tell me, if I take your loved one, how much you're going to love me? Can I tell you why death came? Death didn't come by God. Death came by Adam. You want to blame somebody, why don't you start blaming Adam? Corruption is not in the earth because God put it here. Corruption's on the earth because Adam sinned and brought a curse on us. But Jesus was the last Adam. We don't know God because we still see ourselves in Adam. I want to know God. Help me, Lord. Let's talk about the fear of the Lord a moment. You know, if you look at the average Christian or talk to the average Christian, it's almost like that their attitude is, you better be careful, because if you make a mistake, just a little mistake, I'm just telling you now, I just want you to understand that if you make a mistake, God's going to send you straight to hell. You're not going to go past go. You're not going to collect $200. Straight to hell. Better not goof up. Now, when you're in sin, all you have to do is ask Christ to come into your heart and you can be saved forever. But now that you're a Christian, God changes his attitude towards you. And if you sin, straight to hell. Well, I'm preaching good, ain't I? Well, I'm making people mad too, yeah. When you get the revelation God's love, you'll come back and love me for telling you the truth, because truth will set you free. Lies won't set you free. Are you listening to me? Lies won't set you free, the truth will. The truth is, how can I be like God? How can I be like Jesus when I've never been taught what Jesus is and I don't know in my heart who God is? When I don't know love, I can't know God. Well, Pastor, one of these days you'll wake up and realize that everybody on the planet's stupid and you're going to have to get stupid with us. No, I'm not. I want to know the love of God that passes knowledge. I want to know about a God who is love. I want to know about a God who is light. We'll get to that later. He wants to shed light on how we don't know who he is. Help me, Lord. How can you tell others about a loving, kind, heavenly Father when you don't believe a word of it in your own heart? How can you do it? When you don't believe that God always loves, always cares, always protects, always is there, that he doesn't keep record of wrong, when you don't believe that, you know, we make statements like, well, God won't bless you until he can trust you. There are things God don't want you to have because he knows he can't trust you with it. Really. Can I tell you all today why God blesses? Let me tell you why God blesses. God blesses because he's a blesser. Not because you do it good. He has blessed me with stuff that I could have never imagined that I was good enough to be blessed with it. He blessed me with you. So smile. And he blessed you with me. Yeah. God blesses because he's a blesser. Man, isn't that amazing? Well, I thought I had to believe it right, say it right, do it right, act it right, and get everybody else in my little circle to agree with me before God would do it. Well, God's just waiting on you, ain't he? Help me, Lord. Let me ask you a question. How can you have intimacy with a God you can't trust? How can you be intimate with God when you can't trust him?
Now, Pastor Farley, we're going to have to be careful because you know what? You may do something and you're going to lose God's hand of protection over your life because of something stupid you do. You may lose his protection.
What are you going to do with verse 7 where it says, God always protects? You tell me what my kids can do that would ever stop me from wanting to protect them from anything that will hurt or harm them. But you think God can be manipulated by your behavior to protect you. Let me just read this to you, verse 7. Love always protects. Y'all realize that's what it says. Love always protects. No wonder the world feels the way they do about God. All they have to do is listen to us Christians and they don't want to know him. It's impossible to have an intimacy with a God you can't trust. Can you imagine, just let me try to say it this way. Can you imagine me telling my wife, I love you, I'll never forsake you, but if you cheat on me, I'm going to pour gasoline on you and set you on fire. Huh? Oh, honey, I love you. I'll never forsake you. But if you cheat on me, you're going to burn. Listen, she may never cheat on me, but she'll never really love me back. She'll never feel like that she can be intimate and talk to me. I will never have her heart if she's loving me out of fear. How many people only love God because they're scared they're going to burn? Listen to me. Do you all know Christians shoot their wounded? Do you know that? Anytime there's a public scandal involving a well-known minister, news stations don't even have to send out reporters to investigate the story. You know why? Because their phones are ringing off the hook from well-meaning Christians wanting to expose what the preacher did.
Why? Because we want to shoot them, we want to destroy them, we want to expose that person. Christians have an inescapable reputation for being judgmental. We go to gay pride parades with megaphones and signs saying you're going to hell. How do they see the love of God in your judgment? Who are you to decide what the saving power of Almighty God is? Who are you? Did you lay your life down to decide who God cares for and loves? While we were yet sinners, God loved us enough to die for us. He died for the sins of the entire world, not just the ones you do with your sweet judgment. Poor little thing's going to hell. Help me, Lord. We compare stories among Christians of how rude we were to the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses. We pick at abortion clinics, and we're wondering what the answer is. I'm going to close by saying it to you like this. I'm going to tell you that the answer is not power. The answer is not prayer. The answer is not fasting. The answer is not revival. The answer to the situation of God and mankind is if we were created to be conformed to the image of God and we're trying to be like God, we're going to have to discover who God is, and God is love, and we're going to have to start imitating the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, I'll read this and I'm closing. Romans 5, beginning at 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here's what I want you to understand. We should be blaming Adam, not God, for corruption. Adam is who sold us out. We've been created in God's image and God's likeness, and it's time that we learn how to be like God, to love like God, and love one another. I need a baptism in God's love. I could say a lot right now, but I just want to pray, Lord, baptize everyone who has heard my voice today in your love. Let us to know your agape. In the weeks and months to come, help us to have a relationship where we begin to walk in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.